Greetings and welcome to the Let's Talk podcast. I am so happy that we get to start this adventure together with you. This is where we seek to have conversations through the very lenses of Christ's eyes. And the conversation we shall seek to have today is that of sola gratia. Last week we had an introduction of the five solas of the Protestant movement or the Protestant Reformation, which began with the likes of Luther in those days as they were against the Roman Catholicism and so forth. There is a rich history on the Protestant movement and the Reformation. I am joined today by a dear friend and brother, Emmanuel Simiu. I'll allow him to say hi before we delve into this.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for this chance. Listeners, I don't have a cold like Steve. So I'm happy and delighted. I can't wait to dive right in. As we said, we are looking to internalize the historical significance of what they did. We won't shed a lot of light there, but also look at the present implications of what they did. How do we appreciate what they did? And holistically, what does the Bible say about sola gratia? Thank you.
Yeah, holistically, what the scriptures say about sola gratia. And just to start us off from scripture, the most common verse where this argument is drawn is from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8. That is where we shall start. Simeo, I see you're slowly sifting and moving there. If you get there before me, we could help us.
Ephesians 2:8. I have sifted so fast. I'm reading from NIV, I believe. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And that is a very precious reality. But before we delve into the salvation that is by grace, what is sola gratia? What is sola and what is gratia, Simeo?
What a nice way to begin this. Sola means only, only. Gratia is grace. So, for students like me, you know, when they are defining a term, they look for, is it Greek? I don't know. Greek or Hebrew. So, sola means only and gratia means grace. So, it is only by grace.
Beautiful, beautiful. It is only by grace that we have been saved. And salvation, as it has been detailed from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, is by the grace of God. And so, salvation on one hand, equipped or enabled by first and ultimately by the grace of God. Gratia meaning grace and sola meaning alone. Salvation is by grace alone. And what is salvation, Simeo, in a brief description, what is salvation to you?
Salvation is God reaching out to us out of love and causing us to be born of Him, causing us to be reflexive of who He is. Revealing to us our deepest desires, revealing to us our sinful nature, convicting us of our sins, convicting us of God's judgment, and bringing us to Christ and giving us hope and faith in Him.
Us being brought to Christ such that we were once dead in sin and now we are alive in Christ. That even through Christ, we have been saved from the jaws of death to the loving arms of our heavenly and eternal Father. And Romans records and says, we have been saved from God's wrath into God's world, right? And that is salvation that has been accomplished through grace. We were walking in darkness, now we are walking in the light. First John records and says, whoever does not love his brother walks in darkness, and they shall stumble. Not only do they walk in darkness, they actually do not know where they are going. So it is a double darkness. You are walking in darkness, you do not know God, and you do not know where you're going. And this is enabled. The transformation from death to life, from light to darkness, is through the grace of God, which has been found in Christ Jesus. And another beautiful thing about the salvation that is by grace, or rather by grace alone, the entire concept, is that secondly, we are justified by grace. And from the book of Romans chapter 3, a common verse we usually like to use, 23 and 24, it says that for all have sinned and they have fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Such that justification not only means Christ taking our punishment on the cross of Calvary, but he also takes our guilt. And this is where people say we haven't been imputed his righteousness. He has taken our sin and we have taken his righteousness. He has taken our punishment and we have taken his glory. Yeah. So maybe you have anything.
Justification is a big word.
Yes.
Justification means simply to our listeners, dear listeners, pardoned before God, made right before God, you know. We have done a series on the attributes of God. Yeah. We have seen God's holiness, God's justice, God's mercy, God's everything.
Yeah.
Everything. His immutable and immutable character.
Yeah.
And one thing to say is, we are not who God is. We are not righteous as he is because of our sins. And before God, we are sinners. As Steve has read from Romans 3, that all have, is it?
Yes, 23.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Psalms, the psalmist would reiterate that the Lord looks from heaven to see whether his children are doing what is right. And then the Bible says that all have sinned.
Yeah.
All are sinners. They are no longer walking in the right ways of the Lord. So who are we? We are simply sinners before God.
Yeah.
And that is wrong, you know? He is not, and we are supposed to be like him.
Yeah.
And what he actually does, he justifies us. He makes us right before God. What does that mean? It means he, as you have said, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us because of Christ living a perfect life, and we are no longer identified by our sins. God does not see our sins, but God sees the pardon of Christ, and by that doing, then it is counted towards his righteousness. So sola gratia, in appreciating by grace alone, it is God giving us a gift, a gift which is Jesus Christ, and by this gift, then we are made right before God. God does not see of these sins. Yes, we sin. Yes, we do all these bad things. We ought to repent when we sin.
Yeah.
But God does not look at us the same way he looks at an unbeliever.
Wow. That is a very beautiful aspect that you have brought about there. So we have looked at what this grace does, that by the grace of God, which you have mentioned, is a gift from God. We are saved from death to life. By this similar grace, we are also justified. And also, as you are speaking, even by this similar grace that has been accorded to us through the coming of Christ, there is a continual washing and cleansing of our lives. And I believe in the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2, it talks about the same thing, that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness, such that the grace that saves us from death to life The grace that justifies us before God is the same grace that will keep us and that will enable us to live a life and to be transformed into the image and into the likeness of God. So it is by grace alone. And grace, I think, as you've mentioned, is also unmerited favor.
True.
It goes on to say in Ephesians that we have not done anything.
True.
It is not by anyone's works that they should boast. It is ultimately by
grace,
by the mercies of God. Yeah. And what sort of comfort does this doctrine of sola gratia give to the believer?
What does sola gratia do?
Mm.
Sola gratia helps us to appreciate this is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. You see, he says it is freely given to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are made right before the face of God freely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't pay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, go on a leaper.
Yeah.
How much would it be?
Uh-huh.
That is a little Greek to our listeners here.
Yeah.
The implications of this. This is a gift from God,
mm-hmm.
So let us go before God in thanksgiving every day,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that He has pardoned us,
mm-hmm.
you know, justification.
Mm-hmm.
He has regenerated our
mm-hmm.
hearts. He has caused us to be saved.
Yeah.
He has made us right before
mm-hmm.
Him,
mm-hmm.
and He is cleansing us. He is
mm-hmm.
sanctifying us of our sins every day and
mm-hmm.
inviting us.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, we thank God.
Mm-hmm.
This is gracious, and
mm-hmm.
we were undeserving of this.
Yeah. You have mentioned thanksgiving, and I've been reminded of Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet was without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace." It says that even if we have sinned, so that the salvation is from the reigning sin, but even as we walk in this life, we have confidence that the sin that remains in us,
mm-hmm.
through Christ and through His throne, we can approach it with confidence that we can be cleansed. So that for the believer, there is a sense of, and there's an urge of confidence and of comfort in the reality that this salvation has been by grace, and that even God will keep us. It also brings us back to a sense of assurance. You know, sometimes we are not sure which team we are on. Eh?
Team Jesus.
Yeah. You are born again, or you think you are born again, and then it sort of limits your exploitation of living. You don't do good works for the Lord because you're not so certain. Uko Man U, uko Chelsea, uko Arsenal, you know, but Man City will obviously win. So there's a need for assurance that salvation by grace alone offers us, because we are convinced that it is not by our own merit, it is not by our own works, it is by the gift of God, by His works, through His mercies in Christ alone. We shall seek to look that into that at a later time, and so we have a sense of confidence that. I think also in Jude, the last doxology in Jude, therefore, He is able to keep us from falling. We don't stand on our own strength, rather we stand in God. So there's a sense of assurance from that. And also, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, a very common verse that says, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, such that if this salvation is by the grace of God alone, we have been saved, we have been cleansed, we have been washed, and we cannot be condemned before His throne of grace or before His face at all. That even as the accuser throws accusations against the brethren before God day and night, we have overcome through the blood of the Lamb."
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Grace also gives some sense of strength.
Yeah.
In how we go about our day-to-day activities.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and poignant to say, our listeners, Arsenal is number one on the EPL, and we're winning it. some sort of strength.
You're winning it by grace.
Yeah.
how are you winning it?
Uh-huh. Okay. By grace alone. La gratia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so by grace alone takes us away from ourselves.
Yeah.
And also a careful warning to believers. Mm-hmm. It should help us to appreciate God more mm-hmm. than ourselves, so mm-hmm. that we should not look down on those who are heathens, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Some aspect of self righteousness, you sure. know. I can't do this like mm-hmm. that one. I mean, all we do is just win, mm-hmm. you know. We should really get out of that, because we appreciate that it was God mm. reaching out to us mm. and it was us effortlessly doing mm. nothing
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, mm. we thank God every day.
Yeah, amazing. I will not comment on us, you know, like them. They are arguments, you know, even Paul tells the people. But yeah, I think you've touched on self-righteousness, which is a prevalent true. Sin. And I believe in the book of Titus, chapter 3, he says, For we were once also foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived, we were enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. We were spending our life in all forms of malice and greed. We were hateful and we hated one another. And so having that sense of understanding, that you were once in that point or in that state of life. And then he goes on to say, but when the loving kindness mm-hmm. of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. Because the deeds which they had done, he clearly stated, they were hating one another, they were controlled by their lusts and passions. But it continues to say, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope to eternal life. So it is by grace alone, it is not by our works. And that is a very beautiful reality. And I think even as you're talking, it also reminded me that even for the believer, the life becomes difficult. There are trials, there are tribulations, and there are so many things that encumber them and make them question their faith. But this same grace that saved us, not only will it keep us, but it will also secure us. Paul was in that state in 2 Corinthians, and I believe he records, and he said to me, when he cried out to God, remove this thorn from my flesh. But God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And that is a very beautiful thing for the believer. Beautiful. That the grace that saves us is also the grace that empowers us to live, that we can persevere.
Amen, amen. And also this also comes with mm-hmm. with a warning to the non-believers.
Mm.
You know, the way we want to do good things, you know, we are hospitable to people, charitable, we are good with people,
sure.
and we think we can buy mm-hmm. our ticket to mm-hmm. heaven, mm-hmm. our ticket to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
None of this serves.
Yeah.
It is by grace alone.
Sure.
Christ is providentially given to us by grace mm-hmm. alone, mm-hmm. Not of our merit, yeah. you see. I won't visit 1 million children's homes so mm-hmm. that I get to heaven or something. But it is by grace alone. So let us stop the habit of thinking that we can buy ourselves to salvation. And let us be reflective. Mm-hmm. Let us ponder over God's word and see what he has to say, that Jesus Christ is the way to the Father.
Yeah. And I'm reminded of a hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. But it goes on to say that nothing in my hands I bring, and simply to thy cross I cling. So we cannot buy it. Even Paul, after being told by God that my grace is sufficient, he goes on to say, therefore I will boast in my weaknesses, and I will find strength in Christ. And so it is a very beautiful thing for the believer. And lastly, one of the comforts that I'm reminded that we get from this doctrine of by grace alone is freedom from sin. That we have not only been saved from God's wrath, but we have also been saved from the reign of sin in our lives. that sin has no mastery over us. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under the law, but you are under grace. And it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are no longer slaves to sin, rather, but we are slaves to righteousness, to doing good works and to doing good deeds on behalf of God." And also, there was a conflict somewhere in the book of Acts. People were saying, the Jews were telling the Gentiles, you have to do this, you have to slaughter animals, mm-hmm. you have to be circumcised. But they write to them and they say, but we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way they also are. That is somewhere in Acts 15, verse 10 and verse 11. So there is freedom from sin. And there is also a sense of forgiveness from God. As we mentioned, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence to obtain mercies from him. That when we fall, our Father will still be able to pick us up. Also in Romans, again, Romans has a lot about the law and the grace. What it says that where sin abounded, grace abounded the more. That your sin cannot equal the grace of God. The measure of your sin, if you put it on one side on a scale and you put the grace of God on the other side, the grace of God will always triumph. So we can be forgiven when we sin before God.
I'm reminded of this hymn, Steve.
Yeah.
My sins are many, your mercy is more.
Yeah, praise sure. God. Yeah, yeah. You His don't want to sing, but more.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will.
I now have a cold, like Steve. Yeah. And maybe to also shed some light to this, this also comes with the need to proclaim God's word together.
Sure,
The urgency of the gospel. Yeah. Now that we have been made right, not out of merit, but by hearing God's word and being responsive to it by grace alone, then we also mandated to go and proclaim the gospel, you know, the Great Commission. Mm. Go and make disciples after my own. So, God has saved us. Let us go out there and make one of his word.
Yeah, and also in relation to men, when you also understand that it is not by your merit, it is a gift from God that freely he has given us. So freely you should give. That when you look at them, not only should you be moved to share the gospel with them, but you should also be gracious towards them. You should seek to offer a helping hand to them. And also the final thing that I'm getting to see is a sense of humility. Such that when you understand this, the self-righteousness dies and you're just humble before God and before men. You don't walk around with a sense of pride, with a sense of accomplishment, but you walk around in humility because you know ultimately it is by grace alone that you have been saved.
Steve, I should not see you walking out there bare-chested. Talk to yourself and tell yourself, it is by grace alone.
It is by grace alone.
Yeah, and the final implication for me on sola gratia is thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
It was you who providentially, out of your love, reached out to me. Brought me to this faith, to people out there who don't know you, to heathens out there, it is a stumbling block for them. How we would really believe these things, and we are not seeing this God.
Yeah.
But to us who are believers, then there is some sense of joy in it, and there's a lot of conviction living for God every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thank you, Lord, for saving me from sin and for continuously keeping me out of sin and keeping me in your presence and helping me delight in your ways. And just like the psalmist, oh, Lord, I love you and I delight in your law forever.
Yeah. Thank you. That is quite the concluding statement, that the implication is that we should give thanks to God, not asking God, why didn't you save so and so? It is asking him, or asking yourself, why am I a guest in this feast in heaven? How on earth did I gain entry into this kingdom? What a beautiful thing.
What a beautiful thing.
Thank you, dear listeners. We have sadly come to the end. Hopefully next week I won't have this cold. Kindly keep me in your prayers. But I'm grateful to God for listening. And that is Sola Gratia in brief. Bye.